or had Monk bought it for her? Madeline worked for Anson, Harry recalled, in the Human Resources Department. What is it, Mr. Hartunian? Colonel Christopher prodded. He blinked at her. It's probably nothing. He pushed himself up from the seat. Let me talk to Monk. Christopher got to her feet beside him. It's him? I don't know. Probably not. Let me talk to him before we go jumping to conclusions. She studied his face for an intense moment, then nodded. Okay. You do that. I've got a plane to fly. As she stepped back into the cockpit, Karen Christopher saw that Captain O'Banion's blouse was dark with perspiration as he sat in the left-hand seat. Even though his hands were in his lap, they were balled tightly into fists. Kaufman was doing the flying, she saw, and the communications officer was clearly afraid to touch the controls. O'Banion looked relieved as Colonel Christopher leaned between the two seats. "How's it going, Opie?" she asked pleasantly. "She's flying straight and level," said the co-pilot, glancing up at her. "Buffeting a lot, but she's holding together." "Good. Captain, you can go back to your comm station. Thanks for keeping the Major company." O'Banion pushed himself out of the chair. "You're entirely welcome, ma'am." "How'd you like sitting up here?" Christopher asked as she slipped by him and into the seat. It felt warm, hot almost. "Makes me think of W.C. Fields," O'Banion replied. "The old comedian? How come?" "He said he wanted on his tombstone, 'All things considered, I'd rather be in Philadelphia.'" Christopher laughed. "You don't want to be a pilot?" "No, ma'am. You can keep the job. I'll stick to communications." O'Banion ducked through the hatch. As Colonel Christopher strapped in, she said to Kaufman, "No competition from him." Kaufman grunted. Christopher could see that he was reluctant to turn control of the plane back to her. Looking through the windshield, the colonel saw that they were back over the gray swirling storm that they had passed on the way to the Korean coast. "Hope we don't have to put down in that mess," she said lightly. Kaufman gave her a sour look. "Misawa reports it's starting to rain there. We'll be landing in the storm, looks like." Christopher shrugged. "Not much we can do about that, unless you want to head back to Elmendorf." Kaufman said nothing, but the expression on his face could have curdled milk. Able 1. Beam Control Compartment. Monk Delaney was asleep when Harry stepped through the hatch to the beam control compartment. He was sitting in front of his main console, head lolling on his shoulder as the plane bounced and staggered through the air. Up here in the 747's nose, the constant rise and fall of the plane's pitching motion was more noticeable than farther aft. The noise of the engines was less, but the shaking, shuddering caused by the damaged wing seemed more intense up here to Harry. "Monk," he called. "Hey, Monk, wake up." Delaney stirred and grumbled to himself. His eyes fluttered, then opened fully. "Harry," he said blearily. "Must have dozed off." "Yeah." Harry sat in the chair next to the big engineer. "Monk, when we get back to Elmendorf, the Air Force police are going to dust that optics assembly for fingerprints." Delaney shrugged. "My prints will be all over it. Hell, you know that, Harry." "Yeah. Your prints and nobody else's. So whoever took it wore gloves." "They'll search the plane. And each one of us. They won't find any gloves." Delaney's face clouded over. "What are you telling me, Harry? You took the lens assembly out of the Ranger, Monk. Last night. You wormed your big ape arm into the housing and popped it out nice and neat, just the way you